Talking about the names of God, said, God, what is your name? So let's pray first. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day, a day that you have set apart, a day that you have blessed and sanctified for us to meet with you in a special way. We thank you for life and health and strength and wisdom and discernment to know and to do your will and not ours. And now we ask that the Holy Spirit be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is your name? So it's a common name, common thing to ask when you go someplace new. When you go someplace new for the first time, either going to school for the first time. Well, not first time, but a new school, maybe. You got old friends at the last school, you're going to a new school, you're meeting new friends, or a new job, you know, or even a new church. You may be going someplace new. And so you have to ask people that question, what is your name? And so some names have history and some names have a specific meaning. I want to do just a little demonstration if I can have Brother Keith and his son come up just for a few minutes to show the significance of names and how different names can apply to the same person. So Brother Keith has his son Elijah. So we're going to focus on Elijah just for a minute. So he has Elijah. And so now Elijah, what is his name besides Elijah? What has he become? When Keith and his wife got together, Tamika, they now have a son. So now he's a son. And he also has Keith has a daughter. So now Elijah becomes a son, and also he is a brother, okay? So because that's his sister. So let's say Elijah grows up, meets a young lady, and they fall in love, and they get married. So now he becomes a husband. But it's still Elijah now, so now he went from son to brother to husband. So Elijah and his wife get together. Well, they got together when they got married, so they were together. And they decided they want to have children. So now he becomes a father, all right? So let's say Keith has, you have a sister or brother?
I have a sister.
You have a sister. So now, just by Elijah being born, he has become a nephew to Keith's sister. So, and let's say Elijah has children, and then he has a sister. So they grow up, and then his sister has children. Now he has become an uncle to his sister's children. So we have all these, and the same thing can happen to a daughter. So thank you, Keith and Elijah. So I just want to use that example. So one person can have many names, but it's still that same person. But because of the different function, the different role that they are in, their name is added. It doesn't change them. It's just added because of that specific function or role. And it's the same thing with God. So we have a memory text there. So who knows what kind of car that is? It's an Audi. All right? Audi. How do you know it's an Audi? It's got those four circles. Exactly. Now here's some interesting history on the word Audi. So Audi means to listen in Latin. If you look it up, type in Audi. In Latin, it means to listen. So it got founded, as you can read on there, it was founded by August Horsch, who was forced out of his former auto company, Horsch. So he formed his company, and then he got forced out. And so in 1932, an auto union was formed by the merger of Audi with Horsch, company DKW, and Wanderer. And so when this merger came together, that's why you have the four rings that's on the front of an Audi vehicle. Interesting. And then there's the link for that. Okay? So let's look at this next symbol. We all know what that is, right? We use that almost every day. Google. Now, Google has an interesting history also. The name got started. It was originally supposed to be Backrub. And I don't know how an engineer came up with Backrub, but that was their original thought. But they decided to change it, and they changed it to Google. Gulgal, which references a letter, a number one, followed by 100 zeros. So that was, idea. I said, okay, yeah, maybe. But then when they was doing it, they misspelled it when they went to put it in, and it got spelled Google, and that's how it is today. So different names have different meanings. So like I used the example with Keith and Elijah, but it's the same thing, say parents. I know when I was growing up, your parents had, you have a first name usually, a middle name, and a last name. And so when I was growing up, my mom would call me and she'd say, Kenneth, and I'll hear her, I'm in the yard playing. I was like, well, she don't really want anything. She just wants something. But, I just ignore and keep on playing. So she may call me by my first name, Kenneth, and my middle name, Anthony. And I'm like, okay, she's getting serious now. I might want to pay attention and see what she wants. But I may, if you was like me, you just kept playing, you just ignored it, see how long you can get away with it. But then if she called you by your first name, your middle name, and your last name, you know you're in trouble. And like you need to go very quickly to find out what is going on. And so the same thing in the Bible. We study in cyber school, and most of y'all know I love cyber school, that's my cup of tea. So in cyber school, we're talking about the covenant promises, the names of God that God showed Abraham. And so we see, as we studied in the Sabbath school lesson, that you had Daniel, we normally hear Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But here is actually the Hebrew name. Daniel we know already. But it was Daniel, which means God is my judge. Hananiah, which means Yahweh is gracious. We have Mishael, which is who is like God. And then we have Azariah, which means Yahweh has helped. But we know they were taken captive, and their names got changed. And so Daniel's name got changed to Belteshazzar, just the Babylonian names they were given, which means Baal protect the king. Then we have Shadrach, which means command of the moon god Chaldean. It's a Chaldean moon god. And then we have Meshach, which means who is Aku. That's one of their gods. And then we have Abednego, which means slave of the god Nebo. So we see, just like God changed Abram's name to Abraham, when people were taken captive, not just the Hebrews, but whenever some kingdoms took captives, they would change their names to try to emphasize their God, to try to put their entity onto their captives. Now, what's interesting is some other names in the Bible you may know, you may not know. So, Noah, he preached for 120 years, him and his family built the ark. His name means rest, peaceful, and comfort. Of course, we've already studied Abram means exalted father, and Abraham means father of many nations. And we know that in the Bible, God changed Sarai's name to Sarah, which means princess. And then we know Abraham had a son. Abraham and Sarah had a son, and they named him Isaac, which means laughter. Jonah, the prophet who was sent to preach to the people of Nineveh, means dove and peace. And then Esther, this one, it threw me when I first looked it up, because Esther is the only name you see in the Bible. So I'm thinking that's her Jewish given name, but it's not. This is the name she was given after she entered the royal harem. It's a Syro-Arabian name, but her Jewish name is actually Hadassah, which means the myrtle. So that was some interesting information there. So we have the Bible, this great book that God has given us to learn more about him and how we should look at each other. And so we're going to learn that God has more than one name, and that is different names have different meanings depending upon what the circumstances were going on. So let's look at the first one. Now, in your handout, there's 21 names. So if we go through all 21, it's going to take us about 2.5-3 hours. So we can take a break about 1.5 through. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. I'm only going to go over a few names. But that's for you to take home, look up. Holy Spirit can impress you on these other names too. And just forgive me if I mispronounce some of the names because they're all different. But El Shaddai, we studied that in Sabbath school, Almighty God. It talks about God being all-powerful and that there are no problems, too big or small, that God can't handle. We see what it did for Abraham. He was 99 years old, his wife Sarah was 90, and they still were able to have a child just as God promised. Now, we see El and then Shaddai. And so the word El has different meanings in the Bible. It can mean might or power, or it can mean God with a little g, or it can mean deity. It can also reference false gods that are in the Bible. So other countries, nations use the word, the El, to reference their gods as well. Now, here's something interesting that you may not know. The word kal, K-A-L, in Hebrew means light, as in not heavy, but easy. So something is light or easy to bear. So in the scriptures, when Jesus says that his burden is light, takes on a deeper meaning. And that's found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So when I studied and I read that, I said, wow, that makes a lot more sense. I can really see what God is trying to say here. Now, I'm going to show you another picture that you're going to wonder, what in the world is he doing? So who knows what that symbol means? Superman, exactly. So what's interesting is Superman has Jewish roots, if you didn't know. So in the popular Superman movies, Superman's name on his home planet, close to his home planet was Krypton, and it's Kal-El, which is named after his family, the House of El. So in this reference, of course, it's not scriptural, biblical, but it was just interesting when I researched and I found out that Superman was started by two Jewish immigrants. Because you can see the caption up there. These two teenagers in Cleveland in 1933 decided they wanted to make up a character, and they came up with Superman. So, and they used the E-L to reference Kal-El, which, you know, Superman's name. And of course, you know, if you study that, it's not really an S that's on his chest. It's just his family crest or emblem, basically. So I just thought that was interesting about Superman. So my next one is Elohim, powerful God. And this name references the creative power of God. And of course, we find that in Genesis 1:1-3. It's also referenced in Deuteronomy, Psalm, and Mark 13:19. But it's referencing when the Godhead created the earth. Earth was void, without form. All three members of the Godhead were present, and they created the earth. And we see that in Genesis 1:2. We see that the Spirit of God is also mentioned. And what's interesting, if you look in Genesis 1:26, it says what? It says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Also in John chapter 1:1-5, we see where Christ was present and very active in the creation of this world. Because it says what? Nothing was made unless Jesus was made by the Word. We know the Word is Jesus. So we see us, our, and our stated there three times, indicating the Trinity or the Godhead present. So the next word we're going to go over is Adonai, which means Lord. And this name references to God as Master and our majestic Lord, our God. Say, God is our total authority. We see in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1-6, we see where Abraham was promised by the Lord that he would bear a son, we talked about earlier, a rightful heir, and that his, you know, he had an illegal child, I say illegal, but illegitimate child, through his servant Eleazar, or Eleazar. But God said, this is not what I promised. I said, it would come through you and Sarah. But, you know, we know what happened. In verse 7 through 21, talking about covenant again, we see where God made a covenant with Abraham that the land he would possess would always belong to him and his descendants. And so we see that, as we study in Sabbath school, that that didn't apply just to him physically, but it took on a spiritual nature, and that includes us too, because we are heirs of Abraham, even though we're not physical heirs by blood. So this gives us assurance that God will keep his promises even today. All right? The next name we're going to go over is El Elyon, which means God Most High. So it references God as being sovereign, someone that we can put our trust in, and that God is supreme over all false gods. We see in Genesis chapter 14, there was a war going on in the area where Abraham and Lot lived. So we got the story, the backdrop, Abraham and Lot. And during one of the battles, this is where Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot lived, Lot was attacked. We know the story. He was attacked. All his goods were taken. People were taken captive, were carried off. And Abraham got word because one of the servants was able to get away and come back and let Abraham know, hey, Lot and everybody's been taken captive. So Lot got together and they went back and organized a rescue party. And so we see where Sodom, the king of Sodom and king of Salem came out to meet Abraham because of his victory. He was victorious. He got Lot rescued. He got all the goods brought back. But then when we read on, we see that Lot gave King Melchizedek a tenth. He paid a tithe to King Melchizedek. But he didn't give anything to Salem, to the king of Salem. And I was doing some research, and I had always thought that King Melchizedek represented Christ. That was my thinking. But I found some material. Well, that's one of your handouts there. But Ellen White, in Selected Messages, she says that it was Christ that spoke through Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. And she says Melchizedek was not Christ, but that he was the voice of God in the world, the representative of the Father. And that's in Selected Messages. And of course, I saw it online and looked it up and said, this can't be right. Well, I have the Ellen G. White books on my phone, looked it up. There it is. That's what she said. So I just thought it was an interesting note to bring out. So the next name we know very familiar is Yahweh, Israel's covenantal God. This is the name that God used when he was speaking, not only to Abraham, but to who else? Moses in the burning bush. We see that God said that I am that I am. So it's referencing that he is the self-sufficient one, that he has no beginning and no end, that he doesn't change, and that Jesus himself used this title. We see that in John chapter 8, verse 58. And he was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're having this, and you go back to verse 1 where it all starts, and this goes all the way down, and they're going back and forth, and they're arguing, and Jesus is saying this, and they're saying this, and he's saying this, and they're arguing back and forth. And Jesus says, you know, I was there when Abraham was there. And we see that here in 58. It says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So is he saying that? He didn't say I was. He didn't say I will be. He's saying I am, which covers all of that. And so when he's saying he wasn't created, that he was equal to the Father. And so that was a bold move for what we're saying a human to say, but we know Jesus wasn't just human. He was fully God and fully human at the same time. And so when he said that, the scribes and the Pharisees knew exactly what he was referencing to. It wasn't some vague term. It wasn't something, well, maybe he meant this. No, they knew exactly what he was saying. And we see that in verse 57 and 59. So let's read the whole thing together. So verse 57, it says, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And then Jesus says unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And then verse 59, Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So we see Jesus is letting them know, this is who I am. When you study Moses and the burning bush, I was the one that was speaking to Moses. And by him saying that, he was doing what? He was equating himself with God the Father. And in Jewish custom, to do that was blasphemy. And the penalty for blasphemy was to be stoned to death. So that's why they picked up stones. So they knew exactly what Jesus was saying and what he was referencing, that encounter with Moses. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord sees and provides. This is the name that, now this is, we studied where God gave Abraham names or gave him a different name for himself. Well, here's where Abraham gave a name for a place on Mount Moriah. We see this in Genesis 22, 13 through 14, where when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, and we know the story, he's about to kill him, and he's bringing the knife down, and the angel says, stop, don't do it. And now, because God now sees that Abraham is fully giving himself to God. Before, he'd been holding back, doing this, you know, tripping up, but now he's going through fully. And so, because he looked and he saw the ram in the bush, that's where we get the phrase from, and so he sacrifices the ram. And so at this place, this is where Abraham names this place Jehovah Jireh, meaning that God sees and provides, because God provided the ram in the bush, provided the sacrifice. And we know that Jesus is our sacrifice. So the next one, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. You see, this is the story of Israel found in Exodus 17, 15 through 16. And some more references there. But the children of Israel were being attacked by the Amalekites. They were traveling through the countryside, and they were being attacked. And so Moses and his brother Aaron and his brother-in-law Hur, they were on this hill so they could see down, see what's going on. And so they had this strategy. Moses had the shepherd's rod, and if you read the story, as long as he held the rod up, Israel was victorious. And so if his arm, and you got to understand, you know, you can only hold your arms up so long, even if they're empty. So of course, as the day goes on, the fight goes on, Moses' arm starts to drop. So, but here's a good example of teamwork. So we see what? Reading that story, they got a rock for Moses to sit on, and one got on one side, one got on the other, and they held his arms up. There's nothing saying they couldn't do that, so it wasn't cheating. And so long as they held his arms up, they were good. And they did that, one held it up, one held it up, he was able to sit down and rest, and they were victorious. And so what came out of that, we see in Exodus chapter 17, verse 15, that Moses built an altar to the Lord. And he called the place, the Lord is our banner. And that's where this name comes from, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. So the next one we're going to go to is Jehovah Shalom. I know everybody knows Shalom means peace. Shalom means peace. So this reference is Judges 6, 22 to 24. Numbers and also in Isaiah. But this is showing that the Lord will defeat our enemies no matter what. When we study in cyber school, whether they're physical or a spiritual enemy or an emotional or psychological, God has the power to take care of all our enemies. We can't say, well, God took care of that, but this problem right here, God's not going to be able to take care of this. You know? No, now you're limiting God's power. God has power over everything. So we see in Judges chapter 6 where Israel has sinned again, not just the first time. This is an ongoing thing that Israel has a problem with. They worship false idols, get put into captivity. They cry out to God. God delivers them. Then they do it over. It's a repeat. So what we see in chapter 6, verse 1, where God says, And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. And it was so bad, read the story, that they were being attacked, that the Israelites had to go hide in caves. They couldn't just stay out and fight. They had to go hide in caves. It got that bad. But God was showing that he doesn't ever leave us. He may punish us, let things happen to us to get our attention, but he doesn't leave us. And you see in verse 22 that Gideon, he was out and he saw an angel, but he thought it was a regular Israelite. So he's talking back and forth, and then he does realize that, hey, this is God I'm talking to. And so he says, God tells him, go fight and you're going to be successful. And so Gideon's like, well, how do I know it's really you? He said, they're going to get an offering and I'll bring it back to you. So he goes back to the camp, he gets a calf, he sacrifices it, he makes it, he prepares it, makes some bread, he brings that to him, and the angel has a rod, and he just touches it, and it vanishes because he accepted his offering. So Gideon, God actually, because it comes out later in the verse that this is actually God that Gideon is talking to. He says, peace be unto you, fear not, thou shalt not die. And so we see here Gideon, first we had Abram making an altar and giving a name. Then Moses did it, and now we have Gideon. He makes an altar, and he calls this place Jehovah Shalom, meaning the Lord is peace. So it's interesting how God brings these names out and how man actually names, and God is okay with that. So the last one I want to go over is Jehovah Rohi. Now, Rohi was a name I wasn't familiar with. I was like, Rohi, what is that? But then it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And of course, naturally, I'm going to the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So in these six verses, I mean, it's just so packed with God's power and his love for us that he protects us, he provides for us, he directs, he leads, he cares for us. And it's not just arbitrarily, but we give an example of how a shepherd cares for his sheep. And that's how he cares for us. And we could turn to the 23rd Psalm, it's just six verses, and I would just like to read that while we're closing up. It's going to be our last verse we're going to go to. So like I said, I didn't want to go into a lot of detail on the names. Just want to give you an idea of where they come from and how they got named. And then you can go back in your leisure and look at them. But the 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So he's taking care of us. He's protecting us. He's given us peace, as we already mentioned. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's an example of Abraham. He's leading him in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's more peace. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So he's going to provide what we need. There's other names that say that too, but here we have it, you know, brought together. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. So in closing, what is your name? There are many times that we may ask that question. We may see someone for the first time and ask them, or maybe someone, like in my case, I have cousins that live up in Greenville, and sometimes I don't see them but once a year. So I go back and I see them and I have to ask somebody, hey, what's her name? Hey, what's his name? Because it's been a year, I don't remember. I've forgotten their name, so sometimes we have to do that. But one thing is for certain, that God never forgets our name. He knows our name. He doesn't forget our name. And guess what? When we get to heaven, we're going to do what? We're going to get a new name. Exactly. Jesus is going to give us a new name and it's going to be on a stone. That's awesome. That's amazing. So God is saying he's making everything new. But he is still the same. Just as we've learned there are many names for God, that he is still the same God. Just like the example with Elijah. He could go from being a son to a brother, to an uncle, to a father, to a husband, but it's still the same person, or with a daughter. It could be a daughter, sister, aunt, niece, mother, wife, but it's still the same person. So the same thing with God, we have to make sure that we don't say, well, okay, this is one God and this is another God. No, it's the same God. But he's showing, just like we studied in Sabbath school, for whatever circumstance that we may be going through, God reveals for our encouragement. He's saying, don't give up. I'm the God that can take care of this problem. You got a new problem? I can take care of that problem. So God wants us to continue to rely upon him. And so my last scripture, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, to me, it just sums up everything about God. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, well, it says exceeding, I like that, L-Y, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, you just look at those, I'm just going to look at these three words for a minute. Exceeding abundantly above all. You can't get any better than that. I mean, because just what I can think of, okay, I can think God can do this, whatever. God's saying he can do exceedingly abundantly above all. So whatever I can think up, whatever I can conceive, whatever I can try to fathom, God said he can do way beyond that. So that gives us comfort. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So it just gives me comfort that this is the God we serve, that he is able to do anything above all that we ask. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for being the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and of Jacob. And we give you thanks and praise and honor. We thank you and worship you for being the God of the living and for being our creator and our redeemer. May we keep you first and foremost in our hearts and minds to do your will and to be faithful witnesses to those we meet throughout this new week. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you.